Can you imagine what it was like to be there? To be there when the heavens literally erupted into praise, proclaiming that the long-awaited Messiah is here, proclaiming that Jesus is the light of the world. Let's go to him in prayer. God, we thank you that you are holy. We thank you and we recognize that you are beyond anything that we could imagine. You are above anything that we can comprehend. And yet, you love us so much that you would send your son to be born on this earth, to die on a cross, to be buried in a grave, and to be resurrected on the third day so that we could have life. We thank you that you love us so much that you want to have a relationship with us through Christ and that you want to be close to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you're being seated, let me just wish you a Merry Christmas and thank you for coming, gathering together to worship as the body of Christ this morning. Now, as we kind of walk through the rest of our worship service, we're going to be focusing on a passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 2. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and take those out. If you don't have one with you, there should be one right there under that chair close to you, in front of you. If you don't own a Bible, we would love for you to have one. We've got some for you back here in these bookshelves right next to the tech booth. So please take one of those home with you today if you don't have a Bible as a gift from us to you today. You got something else when you came in this morning? First off, did everybody get a candle? Okay, that would be a sad day if somebody didn't have a candle for later on in the service, all right? So you got a candle, and you also got that worship bulletin when you came in this morning, and in that worship bulletin is our very own special Christmas edition New Work Fellowship Connect card. We ask everyone to fill these out and place those in the basket when they come by just a little bit later. We want to use these just to connect with you. Thank you for coming. We're not going to show up at your house. We're not going to knock on your door. We just want to simply connect with you and thank you for being here with us today. The other thing that you have in that bulletin, you've got some sermon notes if you want to follow along there as we walk through Luke chapter 2. Now, let's go ahead and look at Luke 2. Verses 1 through 6, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, especially at Christmas time. It is the Christmas story. Let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 together. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Very familiar passage of Scripture because this is the story of Jesus, the light of the world, coming to earth. Now, we've been talking about all month the wonder that surrounds this passage. The wonder that surrounds the coming of Christ. I mean, what is it that you think about when you think about Jesus, the Son of God, being born? What do you picture in your mind? Do you picture the nativity set, the stable, Jesus in a manger? You know, do you think about the star? Do you think about the wise men? What is it that you think about? What's the picture that comes into your mind? There's a lot of wonder that surrounds the coming of Jesus. But one of the things that I think jumps off the page at us when you read through Luke chapter 2 is not only this pivotal point in history, this pivotal time in history when Jesus Christ is born, but how God chooses to send his son. I mean, think about it. God could have chosen to send the Messiah, the Redeemer, in any way possible. But yet, he wasn't born to an earthly king. He wasn't born to a mother who is an earthly queen, famous, well-known. His earthly father was a simple carpenter. His mother, described in Scripture as a young woman and described as a virgin. Why is it that God chose to send his son and place him right at the center of a family? Do you see that when you read through these pages of Scripture? That God chose to place Jesus in a family. I mean, when you think about that nativity scene, there's Jesus, he has a mother, he has a father, he has siblings. What would that have been like? Being the sibling of Jesus. No pressure there, right? I mean, one of the things that just cracks me up every time I think about it, there's a comedian, Christian comedian, Michael Jr., that's got a routine out right now, and he's talking about this very thing, like what it would be like to be the brother of Jesus. As a matter of fact, we know who the brother of Jesus was. It's James, the younger brother of Jesus. We know this because he's the author of the book of James that you read in the New Testament. And this comedian, I just think about it time and time again. He talks about what it would have been like to be the younger brother of James. Like, you know, the wedding at Cana when Jesus turned water into wine. He talks about the next wedding when Jesus wasn't there and they ran out of wine again and everybody looks at James. What you gonna do now? Turn some water into wine or something? Do something. He talked about how, you know, little brothers love to follow their big brothers everywhere they go, and how James must have almost drowned one time. Think about that. Jesus walking on water, James going out. What do you think it was like? Well, here's the thing. God knows what it's like to be part of a family. You ever thought about that? Jesus was the Son of God, but he was given to earthly parents, a mother and a father. He had brothers. He had siblings. And so God knows what it's like to be right where you are right now. So what I want us to do this morning is read through Luke chapter 2, but with the lens of looking at it through how to be a Christ-centered family. If God thought it important enough to place Jesus in the middle of a family, I think it should be imperative for us to realize and see in Scripture how we can be Christ-centered. So what I want us to do is just look at four things this morning that we see in Luke chapter 2 that show us how to be Christ-centered as a family. The first thing that we see is in Luke chapter 2, verses 1, verse 6 that I read earlier. It says this, "And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born." This is talking about Mary, and the place that they were was in Bethlehem. Remember, they traveled from Nazareth in Galilee. "She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them." This scripture is amazing. This scripture right here that we just read is pivotal. Do you realize that everything that happens in Scripture before this is looking forward to this moment when Jesus Christ is born, when God in flesh is here, God is present, he is with us. And I think that should teach us the first thing we need to understand about how to have a Christ-centered family. If God wants to be present, then we should want to be present as well. And here's what I would say based on Luke 2, 1 through 6. We need to be present through the chaos. We need to be present through the chaos. Look, the world in which Jesus was born, if there's one way it could be described, it's as chaotic. I mean, the people of God were being oppressed by the Roman government who had literally taken over the world. They were crying out to God for the Messiah to come. They were crying out for a Redeemer to come. But I mean, let's just break it down and let's just look at what Mary and Joseph were going through as a family. They traveled from Nazareth, which is in the northern part of Israel, to Bethlehem, which is closer to, which is south, closer to the central part of Israel there. And they didn't have cars. They didn't have airplanes. They had no comfortable means of transportation. They traveled by walking or riding on the back of an animal. And Mary was what? Great with child, 9 months pregnant. Can you imagine that journey? Now, not just for Mary, but for Joseph as well. Can you imagine the concern that he had for Mary? The concern that he had for his child? And after that long journey, they arrive in Bethlehem, and what's the scene in Bethlehem? Packed, wall to wall people, and there's no room in the inn. Chaos? I think so. I mean, I don't know that kind of chaos. I know what it's like to get stuck in a minivan in traffic in holiday traffic and nobody's eaten and it puts us 45 minutes to an hour behind. I mean, to me, that's like huge chaos, right? And there's a special chaos that kind of comes with this time of the year. It comes with this season. There's this busyness that we get caught up in, and it's so easy to be distracted. And that's why it's so important as believers for us with our families to summon the strength to be present, to be there, to be in the moment with those that God has blessed us with. What is it that you need to do to be able to focus, just like God focuses on you, on those that are around you, that you love? You see, because God's presence isn't just one where we believe in Him. It's not just one where we know that He is here. God is presence for the purpose of being close. God sent His Son, yes, so that we can believe in Him, but so that we can be given a relationship. A close, intimate relationship where God is present. And you see, so many times when it comes to the chaos and the busyness of our life and the stress of our life, what we want to do is we want for God just to remove it, right? God, if I could only experience peace. And we think peace is just the absence of conflict, it's the absence of stress. But the peace that God offers us in Christ is not the removal of things that cause us this chaos in our life. But it's God's presence in the midst of it and the blessing we have of God walking with us through it. And that's why we need to do the same. If we're going to be Christ-centered, if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to be present in the chaos with our family. Let's look at the second thing, Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. You see, not only do we need to be present through the chaos, but I think the second thing that we see based on Luke 2 verses 21 and following is this: we need to be faithful in the brokenness. We need to be faithful in the brokenness. I don't know what your family is like. But you may think that, you may see the things that are going on in your family and then see other families and think, man, that family seems to be perfect. I've said this before. I will say it again. There are no perfect families. I don't care what you put on Facebook. I don't care what filter you put on in Instagram. No families are perfect. Families typically in some way are broken things. And don't think that God doesn't know this. Don't think that God in Jesus did not experience this as well. I mean, this was a marriage that was rocked to the core. And even at one point, Mary and Joseph, they might not have made it had not God intervened. I mean, this is a family that I know experienced grief, because what happens to Joseph? Where is he later in Scripture? Listen, we all experience the brokenness of this world. God sent his son to a world that was broken, that is broken, because of the sin of this world. But yet, when we are present, when we're being the people that God has called us to be in the midst of the chaos, we also need to remember to do the things God has taught us to do, even though we're around brokenness. What is it that God has taught you to do from his word? I mean, he's called us to be and created us to be someone. That's who we need to focus on when we're being present. I mean, who are? God has created you to be a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter, a grandfather, a grandmother, a grandson, a granddaughter, a cousin, a friend, a co-worker. Who is it that you are? Be present in that role that God has created for you and he's gifted you for. But then also, just like Mary and Joseph, be sure that you are faithful in the midst of the brokenness of this life. I mean, look at this. What have Mary and Joseph done? They've traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Long journey. What kind of experience did they have in Bethlehem? They gave birth to a child, and they were staying in a stable because there was no room. And then 8 days later, they travel to Jerusalem. This is also another long journey by foot. Then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Can you imagine if Mary and Joseph had the mindset of, well, I mean, come on. We've been visited by angels anyway. We already know that he is the Lord's. We already know that he's the Messiah. Do we really have to go to Jerusalem? Do we really have to go to the temple? Do we really have to go through this ritual? What if they just said, it's been a long trip, I'm tired, we just had a baby? Can you imagine? What were they? Faithful to what God had taught them in his word. What is it that you need to do that God is calling you to be faithful? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time in his word? You know, one of the easiest commands that God gives us in his word to be obedient to is just to show up at church. Don't forsake the assembling of the saints. I mean, it's easy. It's just show up. Are we being faithful to what God has taught us? We need to be present in the chaos. We need to be faithful even in the brokenness, because remember, God is with us. If you're a believer, God is with you in the midst of that brokenness. But there's a third thing I think we can see in Luke chapter 2. Look at verses 22 through 33 with me. Verses 25 through 33. Verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now, don't miss this next verse. Verse 27 is very important. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Now, one of the things I think we see out of this is not only we need to be present in the chaos, we need to be faithful in the brokenness, but also I really believe that we need to be intentional. We need to be intentional about sacred moments. We need to be intentional about sacred moments. I mean, what's this talking about? Simeon, an old man who was promised long ago through the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw with his very own eyes the Messiah, the Redeemer. Can you imagine? I mean, how many days went by in Simeon's life before this was realized and before we see this happening in Scripture? Can you imagine if that one day, Simeon woke up in the morning and just kind of thought, I'm just not feeling it today. I just don't feel like doing what God is calling me to do today. Can you imagine what Simeon would have missed out on? That's why verse 27 is so important. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. Can you imagine if he had just brushed aside that nudge of the Spirit that day? Isn't it so easy for us to do that? To feel that holy push from God, to be obedient, to just take the next step, and then just to kind of brush it aside because of the way we feel, because of the circumstances that we're in, or because of some other reason. And when you look at this, why is it that the Holy Spirit led Simeon to the temple in the first place? Was so that at the temple, Simeon could experience the fulfillment of the promise that God gave him that day. You see, God leads us by the Holy Spirit not to make us do things, but so that we can participate in the blessings that he has for us. And we are surrounded by sacred moments that God gives us every day that we really need to be intentional about. You know that every morning when you wake up and you open your eyes, that's a sacred moment. That's a moment for you to say to God, thank you for giving me another day. You know, when you gather around the table with your family, that's a sacred moment that God has given you. You need to stop and be intentional about thanking God for the blessings of what is on the table, the clothes on your back, the roof over your head, and the blessing of the people that sit around that table with you. Be intentional about that sacred moment. God gives us sacred moments every single day. He gives us moments every single week when we come together as the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. This is a sacred moment where we come together to join the chorus of heaven, to dive deep into God's word, to tell the story of Jesus every single week. And then he gives us these sacred moments that are throughout the year. Look, don't let this Christmas pass by without sitting down with your family, opening up God's word. Just open to Luke chapter 2 and read the Christmas story. Talk about the blessings that God has given you. Take a moment together to thank him for how good he's been to you and your family. Be intentional about these sacred moments because you will experience the blessings and the promise that God has for you. We've got to be present through the chaos. We've got to be faithful in the brokenness. We've got to be intentional about sacred moments. And then the final thing that I would say is this. Read with me in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 through 39. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when she had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking to Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was upon him. I think we also need to be sure to be the one to teach Christ. Be sure that you're the one. Be the one to teach faith in Christ. I mean, what is this talking about? Anna, an older prophetess, there in Jerusalem, there at the temple, that I believe also led by the Spirit, just happens to come by at the same time Simeon is saying these blessings over Jesus the Messiah. And Mary and Joseph are blown away by what they're hearing Simeon say. And she comes along and she realizes this sacred moment that the Messiah is here. And what is it that she does? What's her reaction? She tells everyone about it. Look, Jesus was no secret. God was excited about the birth of his son. He is saying to the whole world, he's here! He shouldn't be a secret in our families. He shouldn't be a secret in our hearts. He shouldn't be a secret in our homes, in our lives, in our places of work, in our circles of friends. God is saying through us, he's here, he's present. Your Redeemer is with you. Be the one to teach faith in Christ. The very reason that we're here celebrating the birth of Christ in the first place is because of those that have gone before us who were faithful to pass this faith in Christ along from generation to generation. We are given faith in Christ for a number of reasons. Reason number one, so that we can be saved. Outside of Christ, we are dead in our sins. When we step into faith in Christ, we are forgiven of those sins and we are given life in Christ. Oh, that you would take that step if you haven't. Oh, that you would be saved. Another reason that God gives us this faith in Christ is that once we're saved and we've been given life in Christ, that we can know the life that we are to live. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He has created you to be a certain person, and he is building you up to be that person. And if you don't know Jesus, you won't know who you are in Christ. He's given us our faith so we can know who we are. But there's a third reason we have been given faith in Christ. And that's so that we can pass that faith on from generation to generation. This verse amazes me. Listen, think about what this means. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up, healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. Can you imagine what that was like for Mary, for Joseph, to have the privilege and the honor of teaching Jesus his first words, to take care of him through the night, to teach him how to eat, how to sleep, how to act, who to be, how to be faithful. Now, God did a work there, there's no doubt, but he chose to include parents in that. It's no different when we teach our children faith in Christ. Our final thought is this. God placed Jesus at the center of a family. Shouldn't he be the center of your family as well? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you for the day that you've given us. We thank you that you bless us so richly and that you gave us Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. God, we thank you that we can have faith in him. And Lord, if there's anybody here today that does not know you through Jesus, we pray that today would be the day that they would step into faith. We pray that today would be the day of salvation. And if you are here and you've never made that decision, you can do so today by just having a conversation with God, praying a very simple prayer. You can even repeat after me. You can just say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. God, I know that I need Jesus. God, please forgive me of all of my sins. From this day forward, I want to commit my life to Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me, and thank you for accepting me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As our ushers are coming forward at this time, and these baskets come by, if you don't mind placing that connect card along with your offering in that, we would certainly be appreciative. And then we're going to continue to worship. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, that prayer of salvation where you committed your life to God through Christ. We would love to be able to encourage you in that decision, love to be able to walk with you through the first steps of becoming of being a Christian and being faithful. I'm going to be up front. We've got other pastors here that are willing to talk. We'd like to be able to pray with you and encourage you in that. So let's do that together, and let's continue to worship together as well.